Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. Kind of been in the Psalms a lot this week. One of my favorite parts of it, Psalm 73 and Psalm 16. We read a couple of verses out of it the other day. Let me make sure I got it marked. Yeah, got it marked here. And Psalm 73 was written by a guy, Asaph. Asaph was one of the worshipers that David got to when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He was a dancer and a singer, worshiper, right? Kind of was there all the reign of David and into the reign of Solomon and into Solomon's reign as well. So a really great guy, and even David made him the head worship guy. So he was just always in, lived his life in the temple, right? Always in the presence of God, just a worshiper, real cool guy. I think he wrote 12 Psalms, and then some of his sons, the sons of Asaph, wrote some of the Psalms of David and Solomon and so on and so forth. Just a couple of things in here about, we've been talking about living the life behind the veil and just living our lives in his presence, just how we've been created. And it starts off about God being good, and then how his life, you know, he kept, got his focus off of that and was seeing the wicked around him prosper. And really question, Lord, how can these guys who don't love or follow you, they seem to be doing much better than I am, right? You ever seen that or thought that before? And then he says this thing that he, you know, he comes into the presence in verse 17, until I came into the sanctuary of God, I perceived therein. Surely you set them in slippery places. And, you know, coming back into the sanctuary is that's what he was called to do. That's where he was called to live, just like we are, right? We are called to live in the presence of God. We're called to live out of that. And when we drift away from that, right, it can get real confusing until we come back to that place. And then again, like I said yesterday, the Lord there will lift your head above your enemies, and then you'll kind of see the truth, right? In verse 21, he says this word, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you, right? Nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me and afterward receive me to glory, right? Not really sure what he's talking about here about his heart being embittered. Could be several things, you know, disappointment in some of David's failures that he saw. A lot of people believe when Solomon was born that actually Solomon was going to be the Messiah, right? Because it was prophesied that he would be in the lineage of David. And of course, that didn't happen. And then he got to watch Solomon just go after the world, and just a big disappointment. Actually, in Solomon 2, had his brother Zechariah killed. Jesus mentions him in Matthew chapter 23, the prophet that got killed, right? Was Asaph's brother, you know? And so could have been, a lot of scholars believe that this is what he was talking about, his brother's death, right? Things, in other words, happening that just doesn't seem right or fair. And then he says, nevertheless, I'm with you, and you've taken hold of my right hand. Really like that word about taking hold of my right hand, because, again, in Christ, we are seated at the right hand of God. So God has actually taken hold of our right hand, meaning that there's the nearness of God, right? That we are seated with him, in him, and there's this nearness. Then this is the part I really love here. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I really desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, and will, but God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful, talking about the enemy. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of your works. Just love that little portion of scripture right there. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And you know, besides you, there's nothing on earth I desire, right? You are my portion. Really made me think about, you know, when the Joshua and the Israel went into the land of Canaan, which is a real picture of the spirit-filled living and life. Everybody got a little portion of the land, right? All the tribes, except the tribe of Levi. Levi's portion was the Lord, right? That's what they got as their portion, that they would live in his presence, and he was their portion. And that's why I think in the New Testament we're called a kingdom of priests, from that Levitical priesthood, right? Because our portion is God, his presence, right? And you know, if that's not enough for us, enough for me and you, we'll never be satisfied. There's never enough. I talked to a guy one time who was a literal billionaire, you know, and he just talked to me about the woes of that. He said, you know, it never stops. He said, when you get all this money, you're never satisfied. You want more. And then you're always worried about somebody trying to take it from you, you know. And he said, I have to just guard myself constantly because there are people everywhere trying to take. So he said, you know, it's nothing. He was just talking about his encounter that he had with God. Same thing David says three times in the Old Testament. It speaks of God being the portion. And this is out of, we read some of this the other day in Psalm 16. He says this, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and he's my cup. You support my lot, or the lot that's a portion to me. My portion is God, right? And the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And my heritage is beautiful to me. And then he goes on that you've set me by your right hand. David talks about that. And in your presence is fullness of joy. He read that the other day in Psalm 16. Right? Then also Jeremiah says the same thing in Lamentations. I'll read that real quickly. Where he's kind of brought back to familiar verses, of course. The Lord's loving kindness has indeed never ceased. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. And he is good to those who wait for him, who long for him, and they will see his goodness, right? So, just a little word today that about living in his presence, you know. That his nearness will always be your good if he is your portion, right? You'll say the same thing as Asaph, Whom have I in heaven but you, and besides you, I really desire nothing on earth, right? When that kind of clicks within us, God is our portion, you will live a satisfied life because you will be satisfied with him. And your whole desire throughout your walk will be, that's what you want more of. I want more of, right? We were talking to a Bible study the other night, and you know, which I really believe we're all in transition. C.S. Lewis called what we live in now just the shadow lands, and that we one day will be enter into what we were created for. And we're now into that transition of eternal transition from now, kind of shedding this, you know, into stepping into eternity, right? And for me, I want it to be just the next step, right? The really longing for. You don't see that now. You see Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he was just absolutely longing for to be with the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, where God had given him a choice to come be with him or kind of hang out, stay for the good. And the only reason he did it is for the other people. He said, I'm torn. Man, I want to go be with him so bad, but yet to stay here, I know it's necessary for your sake. I don't know which to choose. I'm torn. I don't think I've hardly ever seen that with anybody, even within myself, right? That kind of heart, just to want to go long to be with him. And Paul's talking about that being clothed with him and just that longing, because Paul lived his life behind the veil, right? God was his portion. And when he's your portion again, he supports your lot and you will live and your soul will be satisfied. And there's nothing on earth that will take its place. We all know that. That's simple, right? But I believe every one of us as new creations have been given the same heart. In the same spirit, right? He said he'd give us a new spirit and a new heart, and that heart longs for him, right? So, you want to perceive if you're struggling, go back to what you're created to do, like Asaph. You're created to live in his presence, right? You're created to worship. He went back to that. He said, I was like a beast. I was there. You ever been like that, where you just acted, what we would call acted a fool, you know? Acted like a beast, ignorant, then when I came into his presence, I could just see it clearly again. So, Lord, always bring us back to that place. Lord, that we're created to live in and out of you. Lord, and it's such a reality because nothing else satisfies. As David said, his soul thirsts and longs for you. So may we hear that, Lord. May we hear the heartbeat of the inner man. Lord, in anything in life that has become our portion, or we're shooting for or going for, Lord, change our direction. May we say at the end of our lives, as these two guys said, that you're our portion. And as for us, the nearness of God is our good. Lord, may we always live in that reality. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.